Johnson. We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
We're just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is hour number 3 of Govern America. It continues to be the 4th of September, 2010, and we have Cassandra Anderson waiting in the wings. Real quickly, I want to squeeze in a caller here before the break. George in Texas, go right ahead.
Good morning, Darren.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I've written a blog on Arizona, and I put Arizona not a signatory of the United Nations, because if you look at Russia and when it was the old Soviet Union, each of those republics back then under the Soviet times and today all have a vote in the UN, and our 50 states do not have a vote in the United Nations. And I just basically said Washington signed that, was it the District of Columbia signed that UN charter, but not the 50 states. And I don't really think the United Nations really has jurisdiction in Arizona.
Well, we have to, you know, the states need to stand up and actually assert their authority. They need to stand up and assert their 10th Amendment rights. You know, and it's going to take people holding those legislators and governors' feet to the fire, just like we were talking earlier about how that scum sucker in North Carolina, I forget her name now, but she's the governor there. She signed that executive order essentially banning firearms transports because the hurricane was coming. I mean, this kind of stuff has happened in the past with snowstorms and things like that. Any little excuse they have to ban firearms or to prevent people from owning them, controlling them, transporting them, you know, but it takes people to stand up and actually hold these legislators and governors' feet to the fire, because, you know, I mean, people say that the election systems are rigged, and I believe there's a lot of truth to that. However, if enough people stand up and demand that this nonsense stop, they'll have to listen.
Well, can I get a plug to my website?
Real quickly.
All right, it's unbalancedpassions.com. You go look at the website. It's Arizona is not a signatory to the United Nations.
All right, very good. Thank you.
You
appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you know, folks, here's the thing about this, okay? I can think about what occurred back in Tennessee some years ago when they were trying to institute an income tax for the state. You know, the little critters were meeting in the middle of the night, and they were plotting in the middle of the night to do this, and the talk show host got wind of it, and the people got upset, went down there, and long story short, some of those legislators had to be taken out on stretchers because they were having chest pains. They were so afraid of the people. That's the power that you have. All right, we're going to bring up Cassandra Anderson after the break. Stay with us. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back in a moment.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time, money, education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. Cassandra Anderson is an independent researcher and writer on such topics as the genetic manipulation of our food supply, the control and deliberate pollution of our water, air, and how this connects to the globalist plan to depopulate the planet. Her website, morphcity.com, is morphcity.com, contains her extensive writings on exposing the world's richest families and their secret war of eugenics they've long waged on mankind. Cassandra Anderson is joining us today on Govern America. We're pleased to have you with us. Thanks for being with us.
Getting the chance to tell people about Agenda 21.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Agenda 21. I've talked a lot about that. I think very rarely does a show ever happen here that Agenda 21 doesn't come up. What really launched your foray into this? What made you, how did you discover this, and what caused you to begin researching this blueprint?
Well, I live in California, and along Interstate 5 that runs longitudinally north and south, up and down throughout the whole state, in the central California, there's signs all along the freeway that say Congress caused drought. And what happened was in the Bay Delta, where the two major rivers, the Sacramento and the San Joaquin River, all the water runs down into the Delta, and they turn the water off to the farms. And so I started digging, and what I found was most people believe that 80% of the water went to, and here's why it matters to people across across America. Let me just start with that, is that California's Central Valley provides 50% of America's produce and nuts, so that's fruits, vegetables, and nuts, 50%. So they turn the water down to a trickle for irrigation for farms.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I looked into it, and most people think that 80% of our water goes toward farm irrigation and 10% goes to urban uses. Well, what I found was 11% goes to urban usage, 41% went to irrigation, and 48%, that's 48%, went to environmental purposes and was federally regulated, which
yeah.
means most of it ended up in the Pacific Ocean.
You know, I remember back some years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, that they had this Klamath Bucket Brigade where I guess they were building some kind of, they cut off the water to the farmers back then, and the people there in Oregon were protesting this thing. And, you know, do you remember that incident at all?
I know some, because that was the model prototype for what happened here, so I do know about that.
Yeah, you know, so this has really been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Well, the idea is, you know, you cut the water off to the farms, the land becomes, you know, decreases in value, and then it gets sold off to, you know, to corporate farming, and or becomes wildlands. So either way, it fits into the Agenda 21 paradigm, which is, you know, one of the major tenets of it is to, it's an attack on private property.
Yeah.
And also, as you mentioned earlier, food supplies. I mean, gosh, if you don't have water, that certainly affects the food supply.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and now they're saying that they're genetically engineering crops so that they require less water, and we're supposed to be grateful for that, I suppose. You know, across this country, Cassandra, they're also implementing plans, and maybe you've heard of this as well, where they're literally charging people now to collect rainwater. You know, when people collect rainwater, it's actually becoming illegal because supposedly the water is running downhill, and when you collect it on your property, then you're stealing water from someplace else.
Well, there's all kinds of, you know, it's not just one plan to remove resources from the people. I'm sure you know of the Clean Water Restoration Act, which the idea is to federalize all water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's another facet of that.
Yeah, you know, that bill. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To remove the resources from the people.
Yeah. What do you think when you talk about Agenda 21? What does that mean to you? That term.
Well, I've condensed it down into one phrase, which is it's the overall blueprint for depopulation and totalitarian control.
Yeah, and when you say that, the average person probably would say, well, you know, that sounds like crazy talk.
Correct. But then, you know, it's the whole thing all folded together. You have to then branch off into details and show them how that works.
Okay, we talked about the food supply. We talked about the water. What are some other areas of Agenda 21? How all-encompassing, in your opinion, is this blueprint?
Well, it's everything. There's the three E's, which I'm sure you know about. So it really at the heart of it is economics. That's the first one. So that's banking. So this all came about because of the phony money system and the Federal Reserve and creating money out of thin air and then being able to buy anything with that, anything and everything. So that's really at the heart of it. Then the second one is education. And, you know, they've been training children in schools, propaganda on TV, environmental groups, and it just goes on and on and on. And then the third one is the environment. And this one, to me, is what I really focus on because that's the excuse that's used for the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my primary focus.
Yeah, and, you know, getting back to the economic part of the whole thing, you know, it's amazing to me when I see how the housing crisis, for instance, has been engineered with all these regulations and, you know, you mentioned the Federal Reserve. It's tentacles are reached down into every community all across this country and really worldwide, because at the height of this, we have the Bank for International Settlements, which is the central bank for the central bankers, you know. So we have this housing crisis, which really plays very well into this overall plan, doesn't it?
Well, it's interesting that you mention it, because Catherine Austin Fitz had a great interview article that just came out last week, and she talks about how drugs have been used, you know, by these cartels, and I'm talking about street drugs and pharmaceuticals. And then what they did, she used to work for HUD, and what they did was then they put their money into these fraudulent mortgages, and then you have the engineered breakdown. And then the part that I want to add to that is now the government, like through the CLEAR Act and other various means, they're going to buy up this private property at fire sale prices.
Mm-hmm. Ta-da. Yeah,
there you go. It's the grandiose plans, but, you know, they've had think tanks that have been working on this for decades.
Did you see the recent news report that Obama now is going to focus his the mortgages are going to be focused and redirected toward from people buying houses now to people buying apartments?
Well, that doesn't surprise me in the least, because the whole idea, you know about the map drawn up by Dr. Michael Kaufman,
yes,
where they want to remove people off of 50% of America's landscape. So instead of, you know, so urban sprawl is demonized, and the idea is to build up instead of out. And,
there you go.
You know, you get mixed-use buildings, which means stores and restaurants on the bottom, and then apartment living up on top. And smart growth, if I can just sit really quick, it's a boundary around city and counties, and depending on where you live, it could be the city that has the authority or the county or both. But they draw a boundary around where you can build and where you can't build that creates a two-tier system. So outside, where you can't build, that land decreases in value. Inside, the land, you know, the value increases incredibly. People can't afford it. So what happens? Oh, let the government come in and save you. So that's how I see that what he's doing, where he's going with that.
Yeah, you know, you had that map on your website, and in fact, I think you probably still do, which showed just how much of the land out west had been bought up by the federal government.
It wasn't bought. It was, but that's what they're, you know, that's what the plan is to do now. But yeah, because the western states where I live entered the Union late, there was different ways of negotiating. And about 30% of America is federally owned, but they can't own it, so they say they manage it, but let's just say they control it. So about 30% of America is federally controlled. And how did that happen? Well, Wayne Hage wrote a great book called Storm Over Rangeland, and he explains that it was the bankers from back east and the railroad magnates and the robber barons that came out here, and, you know, they saw that it was so prosperous and so rich in resources. And Wayne Hage said, you know, the way a monopoly works is you take all you can get for yourself, and then you prevent others from getting what you can't have. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And that really concerns me, too, because we see these cities. You mentioned smart growth. You know, I've talked a lot about this as well, because you know, as more and more land in the rural areas is put off limits, there's no place to go but these highly dense cities.
Right, and they become very expensive because that's the only place that can be built.
Yeah, so I mean, we see that Obama now is redirecting. You know, at one time they encouraged home ownership, you know, people to buy houses, and now the mortgage companies are going to be, you know, giving loans for people to actually get apartments and pay for townhouses. I got to take a break here,
okay.
And when we come back, we'll continue visiting with Cassandra Anderson. Her website is morphcity.com, morphcity.com. We'll be back here in a moment, folks. Govern America continues.
Mm-hmm. aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
We're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We're visiting with Cassandra Anderson. Her website is morphcity.com. It's linked up with ours at governamerica.com. And, Cassandra, we already have a caller here. Let's go ahead and take Heather in Canada. Heather, go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, Darren and your guest. My question really is regarding GMO food. I've been aware of this for several years now. But we're sort of in a lockdown here in Canada. It's really not discussed very much. There's even a Monsanto, actually, in the area where I live. And so I try to buy organic food, but then it came to me, and as regards to cross-pollination, which is mentioned on Cassandra's website, and also I know logically it seems to me that if they're saying their farm is organic, it doesn't guarantee the farms beside them that would be organic. And I really want to know, is this basically a con if we're trying to buy vegetables that are supposedly organic grown? Because there are several organic stores in Montreal where I live, and so I've been trying to buy that. If you could just answer that question for me, because I'm beginning to feel it's a big con. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Appreciate the call. I guess what she's saying is the label organic, you know, is it really insignificant because you can't guarantee something's organic?
Well, now don't quote me on this, but in the U.S., I think that there are certain testing or tests that it has to go through, and it can only be, you know, a certain percentage, you know, through cross-pollination, which is minimal. I don't know what it is in Canada. I apologize, and this is not my really my specialty. I was, you know, the stuff that I've written was about monopolies. But I think that, you know, organic is always going to be more pure than conventional because, you know, they're not telling you that, that it's comprised of GMOs. And so if you're getting minimal amount, you know, or nothing in organic of the GMO stuff, it's certainly going to be better than conventional. So,
well, you have a better shot at it anyway, huh?
Right. I would definitely recommend sticking with the organic.
Or better yet, just grow your own and make sure you use the right seeds.
Now, there you go. There's some good thinking.
let's talk about Monsanto for a moment. You know, I know you've written extensively about that, and I was reading some of your work, you know, the last couple of days. You know, this genetic manipulation of seeds, you know, I guess what they do is they shoot a gene in there that makes it resistant to Roundup herbicide. And it basically, it sounds real good on the surface because it helps the farmers get rid of weeds, but it's created a lot of problems, hasn't it?
Yeah, it creates a super strain, super weeds. And as we saw a few weeks ago, gosh, I want to say it was down south somewhere, I want to say South Dakota, where they found canola, wild-growing canola on the roadways. And it was genetically modified. And what's interesting, it wasn't just one brand of genetically modified canola. There was two that had cross-pollinated, so they can breed in the wild. Yeah, it's a problem.
So basically the pollen is traveling through the air. Also, insects and birds are spreading the different, I guess, pollen from the plants and everything. And this is actually cross-pollinating. How, I think you mentioned in one of your articles that they actually cross-pollinate these things with weeds to make them grow better?
Yes, they do. It's cross-pollinated with a resistant or weed that's resistant to Roundup Ready. What I focused on primarily in my articles was how do we get how did we get GMO foods when nobody wants it? So how do you set up a monopoly that's taken over American farmlands when it's unhealthy, it's inefficient, it has lower yields? And what I found was, this is interesting, is that there's three different major jurisdictions here. And first of all, the crux of it is that patent, that they received a patent. Based on the patent, all these other regulations and laws were put into place and helped to foster the spread of GMO food. So the FDA has jurisdiction over, is this safe for humans? Well, we know about the FDA, you know, with their revolving door policies and deregulation of GMO foods, and, you know, essentially, yeah, just
when you say, when you, I want to stop you there. I want to make sure that people understand, you know, a lot of listeners do know this stuff, but, you know, our primary purpose is to educate, and so I don't want to assume people do know the role of the FDA in all of this. When you say that they have a revolving door policy, what do you mean exactly?
Oh, well, Michael Taylor is the poster child for that. He was a lawyer that represented Monsanto, went to work for the USDA, finagled GMOs through the back door by using this particular phrase called substantially equivalent, which says that, because food has been around for, you know, eons, and it's, you know, seemed to be safe, well, these GMOs are substantially equivalent, so they don't need to be tested or need only need minimal testing. So that's the phrase, but if that's true, then how could they get a patent unless it was something new?
Okay, so, hold it right there, Cassandra. We have to take the bottom of the hour break. Time's going by very quickly. Folks, my guest is Cassandra Anderson. MorphCity.com is her website. We'll be back here in a moment here on Govern America.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
And we're back. This is Govern America. We're visiting with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com. That's M-O-R-P-H, City, C-I-T-Y.com. Her website's linked up with ours at Govern America. Cassandra, before the break, you were talking about the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which I like to lovingly refer to as the Federal Death Administration, because it seems to me like everything that they're doing today is focused upon, eliminating our choices and eliminating safe food.
Not only that, I mean, they've been in the pocket of Big Pharma for God only knows how long.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You were talking about the revolving door situation. A lot of the people that were in the pharmaceutical companies find themselves in the FDA and then vice versa.
Well, Michael Taylor in particular, so he instituted that policy, the substantially equivalent policy there in the FDA. George H.W. Bush came down with an executive, substantially equivalent doctrine. So you get that. So then he left, the FDA and went to go and work directly for Monsanto as a VP, and then bounced around, did some other things, taught how to make policy in the federal government, I believe at George Washington University. So now there's teams of people that have learned directly from him how to do it. And is now working back in the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the revolving door.
And I think most people don't realize that there was an actual policy that encourages that. Let's talk about the USDA
Let me just back
up. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Three agencies. So you have the FDA, then, and they determine, is it safe for humans? Then you have the EPA. They determine, oh, are the pesticides safe? And they've got about as low restrictions on pesticides and chemicals as the FDA does. So, you know, it's the same thing. Like the manufacturer sends them in a study and says, yeah, it's safe, and then they just rubber stamp it all too often. Then the third one that's involved, the third jurisdiction is the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, and what their jurisdiction is will these plants contaminate through pollination other plants? And the answer is yes. And what's interesting about this, Darren, is that the Supreme Court, up until the GMO alfalfa ban a couple of months ago in June, that was the first GMO case they had ever heard, despite all these, you know, thousands and thousands of lawsuits, you know, farmers getting, you know, just smashed under the licensing agreement that enabled by the patent through, you know, the GMO patent. And this is the first time the Supreme Court has deigned to hear a case on GMOs. And here's the really, I mean, people should be infuriated over this. What happened was there was a ban on, nationwide ban on growing GMO alfalfa. So the Supreme Court went in and they said, well, they didn't even look at will it contaminate other plants. They just said, oh, well, this ban is too broad.
Mm-hmm.
So they repealed the ban. However, there is still a ban. I hate to use the word ban because it gets confusing. So they repealed the injunction, the nationwide injunction, because it was too broad. And there's still a ban awaiting a environmental impact statement. And who's that going to be performed by? Oh, the USDA. And by the way, they're business partners with Monsanto on the Terminator gene. So if you look at my opinion, the Supreme Court was protecting the federal government in their judgment, not even addressing, you know, the contamination aspect of the case, because, you know, the USDA is business partners with Monsanto. So there you go.
Yeah, you know, I want to come back to that. This Terminator gene basically makes crops to where they won't grow the following year, and that's very important to realize the conflict of interest that is there in the federal government and in the very agency that's supposed to be protecting us.
You know, correct.
They both own the patent. They jointly own the patent.
Yes.
How did that come about? Can you tell us?
Actually, the details, you could look that up. William Engdahl wrote on it, Engdahl. He's a wonderful researcher. He wrote the book Seeds of Destruction, and he tells a story with another company, I can't remember the name, and then that owned it, and then Monsanto bought them out. And so it's Monsanto and the USDA that own this patent on the Terminator gene. So it's easy to look up. It's, you know, it's all over the Internet. So, but if people wanted the details, again, William Engdahl, I've got so much respect for him and the work that he's done in this field.
Mm-hmm. You know, and for those listeners that may not understand, when we refer to GMOs, we're talking about genetically modified organisms. What can happen, Cassandra? I mean, why should the average American or average person around the world be concerned about these GMO crops?
Well, a variety of reasons. We can start with the health aspects, and just in very generalized terms, again, you know, there's so many regulations, and that was the focus and thrust of the series of articles I did, preventing testing on these things because, again, with the patent, because of the patent, Monsanto was able to have a licensing agreement that says, you know, you may not test our seeds. So in order to prove damages, it's very difficult without that. But anyhow, your question was, remind me of the question again.
What can happen? Why should the public be worried about the health benefit factor?
Right. So there has been some lab studies done, and it shows that in lab animals, it causes sterilization and organ damage. So from the health aspect, not good. And that people, I think the latest figure I read that is, you know, you go to a grocery store and buy products, 75% of what you're bringing home is GMO. It's so infiltrated throughout our whole society and farming and every aspect of food.
You know, it wasn't too long ago we had that major earthquake in Haiti, and I can remember, I don't know what the status of this is now, but I remember reading news reports about how they were sending Monsanto and I guess some of the corporations were going to send seeds down there, and the Haitian government, I suppose, turned them down. They said, no, we don't want your seeds because it's a gift of destruction. It's a gift of death.
The way that I understood how that happened was, you know, it always starts as voluntary, and they want to put a nice face on it. The way that I understand it, it was not, they were not GMO seeds, but they wanted to get their foot in the door.
Ah.
And then I think they did eventually send some GMO seeds, and there was talk about they were going to burn it, but it's my understanding it wasn't the government that was going to burn it, it was activists. You know,
okay.
They were going to refuse to plant because it would just completely pollute all the farmland. And these, you know, in Haiti, you know, these are pure seeds that have been, you know, perfected over, you know, well over 100 years of what grows best for that area and, you know, all of that. And it could all be destroyed, as you were saying, you know, one or two seasons.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and once again, going back to the depopulation thing that we were talking about earlier, it makes it very convenient. When you control the food, you control the population. What do we have to, as far as organizations that are purportedly representing farmers? You wrote a lot about how a lot of these organizations are compromised.
Yeah, I've yet to find an environmental organization that I like. As far as GMO foods go, who I do like, who I do think is an expert and is independent, I like Jeffrey Smith a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it starts, okay, so let's backtrack. So where did the fooling around with the food start with? Well, it started with the Rockefellers and their Green Revolution. What's the Green Revolution? Well, they went to, you know, developing nations, let's say Mexico, Southeast Asia, places like that, and they came up with a hybrid seed for rice primarily, and hybrids are not as prolific as non-hybrids, generally speaking. So, and it was water intensive. It created a monoculture, and as we see, you know, if you look at the great potato famine in Ireland, that's what happens in a monoculture. It can just be wiped out. So it created monoculture, water intensive. It made a lot of money for those people that were making synthetic fertilizers, and same thing with herbicides and pesticides. And who's in that business? Oh, right, petroleum byproducts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, so just crazy, and people don't understand the Green Revolution was not a good thing and ruined
yeah.
a lot of farmlands and independent farmers.
Yeah, I think a lot of that history has been tampered with, too. You know, we're supposed to believe, I guess, that Rockefeller and Carnegie and all these foundations today are such humanitarian organizations. You know, you turn on PBS and you see all this propaganda put out by these foundations, and yet if you go back in history and look at some of the things that Rockefeller did, you know, I mean, these organizations actually funded a lot of the Nazi eugenics programs and stuff.
As I understand it, eugenics started here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Nazis copycatted it. In fact, in the Nuremberg trials, you know, they pointed to Americans and said, yeah, but hey, look at what, you know, look at them. This is where we got the idea. So, yeah, I wrote the first article in the Food and Depopulation series I wrote was the Rockefeller family. And what happened, they got so much bad press and were so hated after the Ludlow Massacre that happened in Colorado in I believe it was coal mining, that it was just such nasty conditions that the miners went on strike. So they kicked them out of the homes that they owned. And so they were living in tent cities, and then they prodded them, and, you know, eventually it broke out into violence, and I think over 50 people were killed.
You know,
if
memory serves me correctly, the Rockefeller, and they were Rockefeller-owned mines.
Correct.
And the company that Rockefeller controlled there, that controlled the mines, were actually they hired a security company, and these people were actually randomly firing shots into the tents, and I guess that's what one thing that really caused the whole thing to begin to explode.
Yeah, that's what I mean. These people were antagonized, which is way much too soft of a word, you know. So they were, you know, prodded and pushed into reacting, and, you know, which is what they wanted. And what's interesting about the Ludlow Massacre in that whole situation is that a lot of people don't know is that Rockefeller paid them in scrip, which is, you know, again, fake money, and the scrip could only be redeemed at the general stores that they owned. So it's locking up the whole monopoly again. And that was sort of the thrust of what I was looking into is, you know, how did this happen? Where did it start? And anyway, as you were saying, these philanthropic foundations and organizations, as I understand it, the Rockefellers came out with that because they had gotten so much bad press over the Ludlow Massacre, so they wanted to change their image. What a lot of people don't know about foundations, for example, I talked to someone, I think it was Sage Investments, how does a foundation work? Well, here's the story. And you might want to bear this in mind when you hear about, I was talking to my friend last night about this with, you know, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have come out with this new foundation, you know, where they want billionaires to donate half their money to it. Well, here's the way a foundation works. Is a foundation is tax exempt. So it's not nonprofit, tax exempt. And all that a foundation has to do is take 5% of their profits and give it to some charity, you know, or some other organization or, you know, like that. 5%. In the meantime, they're making tax-exempt money on their investments. And it just keeps building and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which is really scary. So that's the way that works. And then a 501c3 is a little bit different. That's a nonprofit organization. Again, I don't like to call it nonprofit because it's anything but.
Right.
It's what they are is tax-exempt. And they work a little bit differently, but, you know, it's same overall general view. And so many of them are funded through these foundations, you know, Rockefeller Ford Foundation, all of those types of foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And also they get government money. So it's like we're paying with our with our taxpayer dollars, we're paying for our own depopulation.
Yeah.
Which it's an outrage. And they get money from the UN, which again comes from us, the taxpayers. And it just goes on and on. It's just a big circle. And that was the point and purpose of, you know, the aspect of what I was looking into. Because I don't know if I told you this, Darren, but I work for G. Edward Griffin, and so blessed.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was talking to him about it to find out, you know, what the structure is, because, you know, in order, you have to know the structure in order to change it or break
right.
it, to break the monopoly. It was kind of funny because I asked him, I thought it would take him a couple hours to answer the question. I said, well, how do you break a monopoly? And it took him 2 minutes. And he said, well, monopolies are created through governmental regulations, so you remove those and then that opens up competition. And as we know, J.D. Rockefeller's famous quote was, competition is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, there you go. There's your answer. And it's
exactly.
just, like, so concise, so beautiful, like all of his work.
Yeah. Hey, we have Craig in Canada. A lot of calls from Canada today. Go ahead,
yeah,
Craig.
Yeah, great.
Hi, Darren Canada. I just wish we had the resources you guys have down there so we could educate more people. I need some help, and that has to do with responding to the term sustainability, because, like you mentioned earlier, it'd be great if we could have people tune into the show, but they've got to invest a good 20 minutes or 30 minutes, right? And when I talk to people, if I get their attention that long, I say, you know, go to Morph City, go to RBN, and read about it, look up Agenda 21. But the thing is, I need what's like a little called an elevator speech. So somebody says, yes, but it's all sustainable. Don't you agree? We have to look after ourselves. I need a sentence or two, Cassandra, where I can say, yes, but do you know what sustainability is? Boom, throw it at them. Like those business
introductory speeches. Well, the term sustainable development came out of the UN, and it's based on the three big, so again, this is my focus, it primarily is the environment. So the three biggest ways that they're clamping down on us is through global warming, which, you know, is all based on, well, based on skewed science and manipulated data. The Endangered Species Act, which is an attack on private property, and water shortages. So if you can just give them that and then go into details from there, because they'll probably be able to see the global warming stuff. I mean, that's been, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, exposed through ClimateGate and so many other scandals.
Yeah, but you're speaking to sort of like a convert, because when I say ClimateGate or global warming is real, I get the rolling of eyes. But how do I combat the term sustainability without saying, hey, do you know what sustainability, what the bad side of it is? Is there a quick way to say it? And then once you get their attention, they're like,
well, you can say that the term came out of the United Nations, and it's sustainability of the ruling classes if you take a closer look.
Thank you. Perfect.
All right, let's take a break. Cassandra, final segment of Govern America straight ahead with Cassandra Anderson. We'll be right back.
Have you heard the big news? The anti-gun politicians just had their ass handed to them in the McDonald versus Chicago case. And now we are celebrating right in the backyard of Chicago itself, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share a passion for their rights and to celebrate the restoration of the Second Amendment. So come and let the freedom bells ring. Join us in the patriotic shooting event of a generation. Grab your guns and sign up for an event-filled weekend of shooting and self-protection training for you and your family. There's limited space, so go to republicbroadcasting.org to find out more and sign up today.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, we're back with Cassandra Anderson here on Govern America. MorphCity.com is their website, MorphCity.com. And Cassandra, we have one last caller here. We're in the home stretch of the broadcast, only a few minutes left. Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Darren. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Cassandra. I appreciate your information. Say, I was looking into eugenics, and I had seen... I think it was William Thomas who had exposed that you know, the eugenics plan that America adopted came over to America, signed with Hitler's name attached. And I have a question regarding the artwork that's on your website. And
yeah,
on the homepage, there's a 666 in the upper right hand corner, and this
really?
This symbolism of going from gray, from darkness to light, and the rainbow. And then on your about page, there's a picture of what appears in my research to be a woman standing in a magic circle with a being, I don't know if it's either Adam or Lucifer, pulling an apple off of a tree. And the sun symbolism.
Actually,
I was wondering if you could tell me where
that
you got the inspiration for that, or who did that artwork.
Yeah, that's William Holman Hunt of the Pre-Raphaelite period. And it's the Lady of Shalott, and I love the Pre-Raphaelites. I'm a painter, so that's why I put up a lot of the Pre-Raphaelite artwork on there.
Are you a member of, like, the Eastern Star or Rosicrucian Society?
No.
No?
No, I just, a lot of it's based on Tennyson's work. It's, I love that it's so beautiful.
Okay, because...
Yeah.
The symbolism is very magical, especially with the woman standing in front of the mirror inside of a circle, and her hand positions, especially with the one hand right over her yonic area. I study symbols, so those screamed out at me.
Well, the Lady of Shalott, there was a curse put on her that she was not allowed to look out the window. She lived in a tower and did weaving. And if she were to look out the window, then she would be cursed with death, and she did. And if you look out the window, that's Prince Lancelot, or not Prince, but Sir Lancelot riding on the horse.
Oh,
and that's
so,
at the very moment where that's happening.
Oh, so we are dealing with King Arthur and Merlin's mysticism then?
Not on that deep of a level. It's about, my website's about just telling the truth and exposing.
Okay.
Yeah, and looking through the illusion. That's
all right.
The idea.
Did you read anything that she wrote, though, Mark?
Yes, I have. I've been studying.
It's about unraveling the web of deceit. That's
right.
The point.
And that's what that's what I'm looking to, and I look into the medium of symbols, like so many people have suggested it in the past. Because I've studied the Monsantos. I was going up to Alaska in 2000, and I talked to farmers. And if anybody that's listening recalls that the whole western states were all underwater that summer. And that's when I first heard about the cross-pollinization, where they were going in and actually the pollen was crossing over. And then these companies like whatever, Northrop King, Pioneer, whoever these major hybrid seed makers were actually going in and suing the farmers for copyright infringement and then taking their land.
Well, yes, and that's because of the patent and the licensing agreement, and that's why I wrote the article, you know, how did this happen? And it's governmental regulations, you know, and this whole thing has been fostered by our federal government and some of the state governments as well.
Well, listen, I appreciate the call, Mark. You know, we're almost out of time, Cassandra. Real quickly, what do you recommend people do? You know, I don't want to leave people hanging with all the problems. What do you think that they should do to try to undo some of these regulations? Obviously, we mentioned growing your own crops.
In the realm of GMOs, go organic. There's stores like Whole Foods. We have Trader Joe's here in the western states that, you know, anything that's their brand name product, they say is non-GMO. Grow your own. There's CSAs, community supported agriculture, where you support local farms.
And
you know,
we're flat out of time. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
With recent